Hi, I'm Femi Oke. You're watching The Stream. On today's episode, rethinking prisons, their purpose and impact on the incarcerated. Is it possible to have more humane prisons? Kat Gambetti gets our conversation started.
I think one of the biggest misconceptions about prison is that we aren't harsh enough and that we need to be tougher with conditions, longer sentences, and that this will encourage people to not want to commit crime. But history has shown us time and time again that this approach just doesn't work. And if we look at the countries who have the toughest systems, they also have the highest recidivism rates, they have the highest death rates, because when we're treating people badly and giving them access to the tools they need through education, technology, good healthcare, we're not enabling them to want to become better members of the community for when they are released. And while we're teaching people how to survive in prison, we simultaneously teach them how to fail in society.
All right, let's meet our guests. Hello, Fritzi and Pia and Teresa. Good to have you on The Stream. I'm going to get you to introduce yourself to our global audience. Tell them what your connection is to prison. Fritzi, you start.
Hi, thank you for having me on the show. My name is Fritzi Horstmann. I'm the founder and executive director of the Compassion Prison Project, and our mission is to create trauma-informed prisons and communities in the United States and throughout the world.
Pia, good to have you. Please introduce yourself to the Stream audience.
Yeah, hello everyone. My name is Pia Puolakka. I'm from Finland. I'm a forensic psychologist and psychotherapist, and I used to work 10 years as a prison psychologist. And now I work as a project manager in the central administration of our prison system in a project called Smart Prison Project.
Thank you so much. Looking forward to hearing more about that. And then hello, Teresa. Good to see you. Please introduce yourself to our global audience.
Thank you very much. And hello to everyone. My name is Teresa Njoroge from Kenya. I'm the founder and CEO of a social enterprise called Clean Start. We work to empower, to give hope and dignity to imprisoned and formerly imprisoned women and their children.
All right, you've met the guests, and if you're watching right now, you're on YouTube, you can be part of the conversation as well. Speak to our guests, pose your question or your comment, and be part of today's show. I want to start with Teresa and guests. This thought about your concept of what a prison is there to do then takes us along to then what should prison culture be like? Teresa, you have an inside view because of an unfortunate incident that happened to you that meant that you experienced prison in Kenya. Tell us more on what did you see?
Very inhumane conditions, lack of dignity. It tears you apart. I remember the day I left prison. I was relieved and I was happy that I was leaving that harsh environment that was very difficult for my daughter and I. But the truth of the matter is that very soon I realized that the happiness and the relief faded away. But the years and months of trauma continued post-imprisonment. So prison crushes you. It's lifelong trauma. And it just dehumanizes you.
So I'm going to say straight away, before our audience starts commenting, that you were put into prison for a misunderstanding. It took you a long time to clear your name. But while you were trying to clear your name, you experienced the prison culture in Kenya. Let me just bring in Fritzi here. Certainly in the United States, there's a very punitive idea of what prison is there to do. Fritzi, why do you disagree with that?
The people who are coming to prison who have committed crimes or maybe innocent, most of them have had incredible trauma growing up, growing in poverty, growing in violent neighborhoods, growing with parents that are so stressed out that are taking out their frustrations out on their children. And when you're a traumatized child, it's very difficult to learn, to be social, to function in the world. And sometimes your only options are eventually is to commit a crime. And so when they go into prison, they're treated similarly as they were when they were children in their neighborhoods, in their schools, and by their parents. And so instead of rehabilitating them, they're subjected to more trauma and more adversity, and they're not allowed to heal from what got them there in the first place.
Pia, I want to show you this headline that makes me smile, but there's some real truth behind it. Open prisons in Finland are like a holiday camp, but they seem to work. What is holiday camp like with the prisons that you've worked in, Pia? Why would people say that? And why does Finland have a different approach to incarcerating prisoners?
So in Finland, we have both closed prisons and the so-called open prisons. So the idea is that once the prisoner has been in the closed prison and has gotten rehabilitation, he or she is ready to enter a more open prison environment. And it's very important to go in this way, step by step, closer to the normal society, to the practices and activities of the normal society. So in open prison, prisoners can study and work outside of the prison, and they come back to the prison then in the evening. So, but during the daytime, they are supposed to participate in activities outside the prison.
Yeah, I'm going to give our audience an example of what that looks like. So this video comes from Finland's Criminal Sanctions Agency. And what you see here is a prisoner. He has an appointment. I see no bars. Let's play the video because I want you to see it. So this is somebody who's incarcerated. And in his day, he has an appointment. So he goes out and about. He's not wearing a prison uniform. He has his appointment. And then he gets himself back to prison at the end of the day. Pia, how does this work? Because why wouldn't he just go, OK, bye, not going back to prison today?
I think our model works really well. And we are internationally known that our system works well. And all studies show that the punitive approach is not working. So our model is made to really reduce recidivism and help prisoners reintegrate back to the society. And I think we are succeeding.
I want to land on this idea of trauma, Fritzi, because this is something that is really important for the Compassion Prison Project. And there's a really important film called Step Inside the Circle that has been seen so many times. It resonates with educational facilities, with prison facilities. Tell us a little bit about the film, because I'm going to show a clip where the incarcerated people that you're talking to are stepping inside a circle. So just set up, what are we about to see and why?
We're about to see 235 men step inside the circle for each traumatic event that they experienced in their childhood, from violence in the home to sexual abuse to physical abuse, emotional abuse, parents or caregivers addicted to drugs or alcohol, traumatic brain injury, which isn't on the original adverse childhood experiences quiz, but it's one of the keys. About up to 80% of the people in prison have traumatic brain injury, damage to your prefrontal cortex, which is where all these decisions, these great decisions, ability to learn, negotiate, follow instructions reside. But if you're not in your prefrontal cortex, if you're in survival, you're not able to make these decisions, comply with orders. Mm-hmm. So when you see this circle, you'll see people stepping in for what happened to them when they were children.
And okay. Where are we? Just one last thing. Where are we? And then I'll roll the video.
Where are we?
Yeah, the name of the prison.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It's in Lancaster Prison in California. It's also called Los Angeles Community, Los Angeles County Prison.
All right, let's take a look.
While you were growing up, during your first 18 years of life, if a parent or other adult in the household often or very often would swear at you, insult you, put you down, or humiliate you, step inside the circle. If a parent or other adult in the household often or very often pushed, grabbed, slapped, or threw something at you, step inside the circle.
In prison, you're not supposed to show your weaknesses in prison, though. But to want to do that, to walk in that circle like that, and to take each step forward was a reminder to ourselves that we still have humanity and we're worthy to be loved, though. Most people on the outside don't understand that we want to change so we can re-enter society better than what we left it.
Fritzi, how does listening to those incarcerated men help us understand a different kind of prison system?
They need help. They need help. Daniel, who was talking right there, he went through unimaginable circumstances, both before he got to prison and while he was in prison, from being abused by, as in foster care, being sexually assaulted, hit with 2x4s in his head. This man is such a glorious man, but he's had so much to overcome that the odds were stacked against him, and the odds are stacked against most of the people in prison. And when we shift from annihilation and dehumanization to compassion and safety, making the men feel safety and the women feel safe so that they can get back to their cortex, we're going to change the prison system.
I paused on my laptop on a TED talk that Teresa did. It's called What I Learned Serving Time for a Crime I Didn't Commit. Teresa, what is this scene? What are we seeing here?
Women in one of the largest correctional facilities here in Kenya, coming together in sisterhood, in dance, because this is how they come alive. This is how they remind of themselves of the good times before they got locked in, and trying to make some, you know, meaning out of the harsh conditions that they have to endure while they're still in prison.
So when you got out of prison, you vowed to help women, children also who are sometimes put into prison as well because their mothers are in prison, help them survive that experience and then move on. Where would you start in terms of improving the situation that they ended up in when they were incarcerated? How do you rethink the prison system in Kenya?
90% of people in prison will definitely be released to come back into society and reintegrate and continue with their lives and are deserving of a second chance. In a country where poverty rates are very high, we do not have enough economic opportunities. Income generating opportunities are very difficult to come by. Opportunities are difficult to come by. And stigma is very high for people who are coming out of prison. So it's really difficult to try and get second chances for women and their children who are rebuilding their lives post-imprisonment. So it's a lot of work advocating and asking the corporate world, families, faith-based organizations, and the community at large to embrace those who are coming out of prison. And I must say that in a country where we've criminalized poverty, because that's exactly what we've done, it's the poor, it's the vulnerable, it's the marginalized, and the very weak amongst us in society who end up in prisons in Kenya. You will not find those who are rich and of means in prison. In a country where we've criminalized poverty, we really need to decriminalize human pain, you know, and invest in people and not in prison, because we're really pushing them further down by sending them to prison for petty offenses. And we're really looking at declassifying these petty offenses so that, you know, we can give better opportunities and look at better ways of resolving social economic issues, because we're trying to resolve those issues through prison. And, you know, we cannot use prisons to relieve the responsibilities of social economic needs. Prisons are not for that. Prisons are meant to keep the society safe. You know, but when we're taking the poor and the weak, I'd like to say that we cannot arrest, prosecute, convict, and imprison our way out of social issues.
I have so many questions for you, guests. Fritzi, you go first, and then I'm going to show all these questions. So stand by, guests, for the questions. Fritzi, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that Gandhi said violence is the worst, poverty is the worst form of violence. And that's what we're dealing with here. The people in prison, 85% of the people in prison can't afford a lawyer when they're at trial. What makes you think they can afford anything in prison, much less expensive phone calls and commissary that's overpriced? And so what we're doing is we're taxing the poor, we're punishing the poor for not being able to afford a lawyer. And that's one of the injustices that starts at the beginning. And But I have to say the criminal justice system and the retribution that happens in our society is based on fight or flight. When something is wrong, we want to react and fight back. But we're not in our cortex. We're not here where good decisions are made. So we need to take a deep breath. And instead of saying what's wrong with you to the incarcerated, say what happened to you. And then you'll find out it's a lifetime of trauma and that this trauma needs to be healed.
Pia, I have lots of curiosity and questions about what's happening in Finland. Mark C. Little says, Scandinavian countries don't seem to be full of prisons packed to the brim. So that's an observation. Well, not yet. There's punishment and there's being cruel to people. So he sees that there's a lack of cruelty in the way that you incarcerate people. Pia, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think we are quite far in developing this rehabilitative prison system. So prisoners are provided quite a lot of rehabilitative services during prison time. And we are also interested in the so-called trauma-informed approach in our prison practice. So we very well know that prisoners have very traumatic backgrounds. The latest project I had was actually in a women's prison, and I know that women inmates, even more than men, have very traumatic backgrounds. There's a lot of abuse, sexual abuse, and we really have to try to provide them a secure environment during prison time so that they could heal from their past experiences. And the criminal lifestyle in itself is also very traumatic, abusive, very high-stress life. So it just repeats trauma, and prison is not supposed to repeat trauma. Mm. That is what I think. And respectful, humane way is part of all staff's approach to our prisoners, including prison officers. So all staff is supposed to participate in the rehabilitative work.
So I'm getting some pushback here, I guess, to your humane approach to prisons. So an earlier comment, send them to do hard labour in Siberia. Another YouTube comment right here. Make prisons a challenging environment so people don't want to go there. I am wondering, Pia, with this humane approach to prison in Finland, what does the public think? What about victims?
Of course, there's a lot of opinions about our system, too, and also inside of our society. But I want to say that all research says that the punitive approach doesn't work. It just stigmatizes prisoners more, and it will increase their recidivism, their risk of recidivism, if you have that kind of prison system. So, also, from the point of view of victims, I think it's important that offenders are treated in a humane way. That means that they have the possibility during the prison time to take responsibility for what they have done, face the reality of their behavior. But all this can be done in a therapeutic way, I think. So it's not about punishment. It's about making people understand and giving them the opportunity to change so that there won't be more victims.
I just want to show some pictures that you sent us earlier, Pia. And it's a hospital room. It's not here on my laptop. I'm going to show you the pictures that are on video. And it's a room, or like a dorm room. And it looks like you're at university. There's lots of nice knickknacks around. Can we play that video? Let's play it right now. Those two pictures back to back, because it's very different. No, not these two. We'll get there eventually. It's the one where you can see the plugs in the wall. Known as a smart prison. And it's a very different, look to the look that I'm going to show here, which is the prison museum. It's here on my laptop. This is the prison museum in Finland, which looks very much like some prisons in the United States, where you are either stuffed in a prison cell, you're locked in for many hours of the day. I'm going to go back to YouTube because there was a question for you to raise. I'm going to ask you to answer that question. And the question is about from Andrew, and he's in South Sudan, and he wants to know, what about people who have been traumatised in prison? How do you get them back to being, Andrew's words, normal again? Therese, help us out with that one.
Well, I'm not saying that it's an...
Pia, you start and then Therese, you pick up. Because Andrew's in South Sudan, so I know that Therese knows what facilities are available in South Sudan to help people get back out of their prison situation. So let me start with Therese. Go ahead, Therese. Yeah.
Okay.
As you've heard from my co-panelists, when I compare the kind of prisons we're seeing in Finland, for example, and what we have in Kenya, and that's not very different from what we have in South Sudan or other African countries. These, you know, most of the African prisons deal with chronic underfunding of, and with chronic underfunding, then that brings overcrowding, poor conditions for those who are imprisoned, lack of basic needs, and definitely very low rehabilitative programs. And I do agree, the punitive system doesn't work, because the more you punish people, the more they repel and rebel from the rehabilitation that you're trying to give them. And then, of course, mixing the innocent and the guilty, you know, the innocent then come out hardened. And the stigma on the outside is really, really high. And so, and as I said in the very beginning, the trauma continues years on post-imprisonment. So what we do in Kenya is we really try to use, we've got an amazing program called the Ufunuo program, which is a healing program where the women come in circles, which we call circles of healing, and they've got to share genuinely their hearts and their pain. And this really helps them heal through the process.
I've got one more thought, Fritzi. I want you to respond to this video. This is Adamu Chan. He was formerly incarcerated in San Quentin. He makes this point and then react immediately off the back of it.
Incarceration not only fails to address the root causes of violence, but in fact reproduces and concentrates the conditions that create violence. And so it's futile to think that we can somehow incarcerate people humanely when incarceration is inherently a violent and traumatic practice. Prisons were originally created as a humane alternative to corporal punishment and torture. But since then, progressive projects have only served to expand the prison system. The quest for a humane prison makes no sense.
Absolutely. A humane prison makes no sense. The thing is, we have to stop the bleeding. We have to stop what's happening right now. Prisons are military installations. They're basically war zones. And the incarcerated people are treated as the enemy. And the officers, though, we have to also think about the officers. The life expectancy of an officer is 59 years old. What's happening to their lives, to their families' lives, to their communities' lives? Prisons are destructive for everyone involved. And that's condoned by the state, it's condoned by the federal government. But it's an old pattern, and I really don't think we have anyone to blame, but we have to make new decisions now. But he's absolutely right. The way prisons are right now, they're destructive, but we have to bring as much help as we can while we figure out what can replace the prisons the way they are now.
All right. So our audience who's watching right now on YouTube, Therese, they are divided between prisons should be punitive, prisons should be more humane. You have one sentence to persuade them. Go ahead, in one sentence.
We need to decriminalize human pain. Invest more in people and not in prison.
Thank you so much, Therese, Pia, Fritzi, for being part of today's show. And thanks for your YouTube comments as well. I'll see you next time. Take care.